It's a Friday on Scoops with DannyMac.com, and as always, we visit with Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Our visit's brought to you by Stratum Structural Systems. If you have a waterproofing issue in your home, go to StratumRepair.com, and also Rottler Pest Control. This is the pest season now as we head into summer, and the best place to go is Rottler.com to take care of those critters. Hey, we have Ben Fredrickson in person, and, St. Paddy's is come and gone. He survived that. Now he heads down to Jupiter, Florida. Always good to see you, my man.
Happy Friday. Good to be here before I head out. Man, look, this is a crazy time right now. We got NHL trade deadline coming. The Cardinals are lifting off. Got tons of storylines going down at spring. March Madness is rolling. Spring football is starting in college. This is the overwhelming, but in a good way, time. So it's exciting. Plenty to dig into.
So what's your first story? I know you're thinking about some of the storylines down in Jupiter. What's the first one for you?
Man, I think it was going to be complaining about a bat, but they went out and got Corey Dickerson, which I like that move a lot. I think, you know, news always dictates what the big story is, and right now it's going to be the pitching. You know, they have two really key arms that are kind of have question marks over them right now with Jack Flaherty. Hopefully more news is known about Jack soon. And Alex Reyes, who we know is not going to be ready for opening day. So the question becomes, how do they counter this? Is the best way to handle it patience and give some of the other guys a shot? Are they motivated because of the way that didn't work last year? That's going to be, I think, a big story this spring is, do they need one more starter? And what's the status of Jack Flaherty? And I hate to be that guy, Dan, but this is what happens when you have, you know, an offseason where teams and players
can't be
in communication. It happens every time. I mean, there's injuries all across baseball every spring, especially pitchers, and you hear this complaint from fans when it happens. Oh, that's the medical staff. They're not. Well, whether you think the Cardinals medical staff is the best in the world or you don't like it, whatever, that's up to you. They didn't have any communication with these guys. No one did. And I think sometimes people think, well, sure they do. Yeah, wink, wink,
no,
nudge.
No,
they didn't.
Right.
It's labor law stuff. They couldn't talk to these guys. And you're going to have guys like Jack, like Alex Reyes, who come back and go, if this would have been, I'm not saying they would have been healthy, but there would have been way more knowledge, way more proactive plan to get them in a better spot. Or if they need something, get it done as soon as possible so they can get back sooner. And there's a lot of teams playing catch up here. The Cardinals are in this mix.
I really believe that baseball is going to have to expand rosters because of what's going on. And we've seen it, obviously, with what you just touched upon with the two pitchers out. But if you go, you got shortened spring training, and you're going to have a regular roster, and you're asking guys to get through innings of a normal 162, I just think early on you're going to have a lot of issues with that. Probably more so with pitching. Could be wrong about that. I'm not a doctor, but probably more so with pitching than anywhere else. So you got to be covered. I think they got to look at expanding rosters earlier in the year.
I think they should talk about it just for the sake of making it less of a storyline. You don't want to have a bunch of examples of how the lockout hurt the season. Once the season starts,
that's good too.
Just
good point.
For the sake of getting it kind of off the top of everybody's head, you know, I think it would be smart. I think that baseball, especially pitchers, are such creatures of habit, and their habits have been messed up. Shortened season, last year wasn't normal, and now this, and it's kind of like there is no normal for those guys anymore. But until they get back into the rhythm of things, give yourself some grace. Make it universal so no one can complain about how it's unfair to anybody, but take that talking point, take its legs out a little bit. I think that would be smart. If you're the Cardinals, you know, what do? You got Johan Oviedo. You know, he got beat up last year, but he hasn't been broken. He's going to be better from the experience he had. You got a guy like Matthew Liberatore. You don't want to rush him, but he's close.
Rendon.
Maybe you go out and get there's one guy out there who pitched for this team recently who kind of saved their bacon last season who's still a free agent as of right now. It's Jay Happ.
Yeah,
you don't have to worry about his fit with the team. He's not retired like John Lester. I'd maybe see if he wants to come back.
What do you think about Dickerson? And first of all, it's a left-handed bat. They needed to get a left-handed bat. You had Carlson and you had Tommy Edman as everyday players that are switch hitters. But you needed a left-handed bat, especially with the DH in play. But this guy's won a gold glove too. So it's interesting, you know, the message maybe being sent, we need a left-handed bat, wanted a veteran bat. But also, where do you go now with Lars Nupar and some of the other young kids that were thinking this might be my time because they could have been a DH?
I think it's good. They had to do it, like you said. When I saw Jock Peterson go to the Giants for $6 million, I was like, man, come on, what are they doing?
Right.
They were doing this. I mean, Dickerson is the, they liked him more, clearly, and they got him for, what, $1 million less. They don't, you know, they want, and I get it, they want to create opportunities for these guys. They got burned on Rosarena. They want to get in the habit of giving guys opportunities. But you can't, it's asking a lot, Dan, to go from, hey, Juan Yepez, you got no at-bats in the majors last year. We brought you to L.A. for the wild card game, but you didn't get a chance. You're the primary DH. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be backed by Nolan Gorman, who's never debuted. Or Lars Nootbaar, who has, and I like Lars a lot. I think he's a really exciting player. 109, I think, major league at-bats. So you've got three guys who are trying to platoon to answer what should be a key spot in your lineup. And they've never had more than a combined 110 major league at-bats. That's asking a lot to have guys who were not a part of the solution last year to be key answers. Now, hopefully they can be. But what this does, he gives you a piece that has a little more experience, a little more been there, done that. And if he gets outplayed, great. And if he doesn't, then you've got a guy who's been pretty solid. Jock Peterson's name has the sizzle because of the pearls in the postseason, but if you actually look at their performance, then Dickerson's, they're pretty much the same guy.
Yeah.
And they're not, he's probably not going to be the full-time guy. You don't need him to be. But you had to have a left-handed presence with some experience. And if you look at him, it's a kind of a platoon type split guy. I think it's a pretty good pickup.
Where are you on the DeJong thing? You know, with DeJong, Sosa, and I've been saying to everybody that wants to listen to me, I believe they're going to give him the first crack at it. And part of that is because of the money owed to him,
right,
but also trying to get him back to the player that he was. But we've been saying that for a couple of years now.
I'm higher on DeJong and the reclamation of DeJong than I was Matt Carpenter because of their age difference. It's not a shot at Matt, but at some point you are who you are, or you are who you're going to be. You know, Matt's talking a lot about changing now, but we didn't see that from him. DeJong, younger, I do think there's a chance. He doesn't have to be all world. He just needs to be league average, and he gives you really good defense. So I can understand why the Cardinals want that to work besides the fact that they gave him the contract. I'll say this, though. They've got two pretty big question marks in this lineup, and it's going to be under pressure. You know, we know the situation with Jeff Albert. This is really the last year you can say he's our guy. He's our guy without proof and proven results. I think that's fair. They've given him a lot of time. They had a good second half last year. They hope that that's the Albert approach really locking in. But if it derails, that's going to be tough. They did not add as much certainty at DH to take pressure off of shortstop as they could have. So it increases the pressure on shortstop as a producer for this offense. And it was the offseason of the shortstop. Look at the guys who moved. Look at the guys who are still out there. The Cardinals are still linked to Trevor Story all the time. I don't think that's legit unless the bottom drops out. And maybe they reconsider if he takes like a pillow deal to play with Nolan. But I think they're legit about wanting to give DeJong a shot. I can understand why. I hope he succeeds. But we have to see it. It's to the point now where you got to see it to believe it.
Hey, help me on this one. So Chris Bryant goes to the Rockies. And you had Arenado.
Oh.
So you had the face of the franchise.
Yeah.
And a third baseman and a really good one. Am I missing something on this deal, or am I just overseeing what?
I think the biggest thing would be the GM's out.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
And, you know, maybe they thought they got killed so bad for the Nolan thing that they want to go back to that kind of having that face of the team. They're not getting Story back. I'm more confused as to why Chris Bryant, other than the money, took it. He could have gotten paid a bunch to play somewhere else. He's got his ring, I guess, so he's like, hey, let's go hit a ton of home runs and in Colorado, but maybe he felt like there's a different direction from the team. It was funny to hear Arenado comment on it.
I didn't see it. What did he say?
He said, well, you know, maybe he feels like they're moving in a more, you know, competitive direction under this new. It was basically a polite way of dunking on the old GM, which he clearly clashed with. The Rockies, for reasons I'll never understand, sided with the GM over the star third baseman. And then paid the Cardinals $50 million to take him off his hands. I don't get it, but maybe it's a sign that the Rockies are going to try a little bit harder. They clearly needed someone to sell some tickets and give people a reason to watch, but maybe it means that Chris Bryant will be playing here in St. Louis in, what, 3 or 4 or 5 years once he burns out on the Rockies.
Are you into the NCAA tournament? You get fired up about this?
Yeah, I like it. It's been cool because if there's one silver lining for me about about the lockout is I'm usually down at spring training during the first day, so I'm kind of checking scores on my phone and stuff, and we have fun down there with the bracket and, you know, all the media guys chirping each other, but it's been cool to be able to watch more games. I'll be honest, I'm viewing it differently this year because it's more of like, all right, the Mizzou coaching search bracket, and yeah. Now you get a chance to watch some of these guys, although I would caution folks not to put too much on one coach in a tournament. We all fall in love with these coaches in March, and you're better off looking at body of work, but it is exciting. It's just good to see it back in full and you know,
the crowds
fans
been,
in the stands.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the first four. I know people knock it. I've covered a team that went from the first four to the Sweet 16. That is one of the coolest things in Dayton. It's a great basketball place. They love hoops. That gym gets packed. It's fun. And I love the idea of showing up in Dayton, having to win to survive, and then starting an exhausting run and going as deep as you can. So, yeah, I'm a big hoops junkie for college and March Madness.
Do you think – I know you're close to Konzo Martin. Just quickly, do you think he's done coaching? Does he want to coach or step away? What do you think?
He would say, man. Yeah. I don't know. I think that right now he could talk himself into changing gears and doing something different.
Yeah.
But you never know how a guy gets, you know, that burn back.
I mean, clearly he doesn't need the money.
He's set.
Financially set.
He's going to get $6 million to figure out what comes next. Konzo, my biggest wish for Konzo, and I would tell him this, so I'm not like speaking out of school. I wish people could know him the way that I know him, who are just, you know, see him in press conferences and stuff like that. He has such a guard up, and he is a smart man. He's a well-read man. He's intelligent. He's intellectual. He has all these interests. And I do wonder if he kind of feels like with the way basketball has trended, and I don't think he loves the modern state of the game. I don't think he loves this NIL. I think he's open to the NIL, but he's still kind of trying to wrap his head around that. I think the transfer portal has him going, what are we really doing here? If we're trying to coach young men and teach the kind of things that he wants to teach, maybe he can't do that at this level. He could go into politics. He could go into helping the NCAA create diversity in its coaching ranks. He could do a million things. But I know he's a competitor still. I know this season was hard on him. He hates losing, and he hates going out like that. Maybe there's a school that he's a better fit at. Maybe he steps down a level. Maybe he goes back to the NBC. I could see him going to like the A-10. I could see him, you know, being a great fit at like an HBCU or something like that. I don't know what's next for Zoe. I've talked to him briefly since the decision, not on record, not in detail. I think he's kind of just right now he's watching Purdue. You know, he's hanging out with his family. But I think there'll be something big for him next. I don't know if it's coaching, but I think he'll do something and find where he's supposed to be.
How about Mizzou? Next coach, hearing a lot of rumors. They're really kind of, I hate using the word lockdown.
That's fair.
After the last couple of years.
No, it's sealed.
It's very tight. And yeah. You know, you hear rumors and there's some people that you look at and you say, well, that makes sense. You know, this guy has either played at Mizzou like Kim English, somebody like that. You're hearing Kevin Willard, who's another one. Murray State. You got San Francisco's
tournament guys.
Yeah, I get it, but I am curious what they're looking for and what they're willing to spend.
Those are my questions. What are you looking for? What are you willing to spend? And how much baggage are you willing to take on? And I wish they would have done a press conference after they fired Konzo to just kind of outline some parameters of their search. They chose not to. That's fine. That's their prerogative. But it leads to speculation about they should give Greg Marshall a second chance to, well, maybe Sean Miller's NCAA punishment won't be so bad. Or Kim English is the only guy they can get who will want the job. I don't think that's true. I think Kim could be a good hire and perhaps the right hire. But we really have nothing to go off of. And why is this so locked down? Well, the university got embarrassed by the search that led to Eli Drinkwitz. It's not embarrassed by the hire. They like the hire. The process that led to it, a lot of people, including Moon Choi, decided there's no more of this. They're going to lock it down. And everybody's afraid right now of letting something get out. So it's Moon Choi. It's the search committee or the search firm. It's Desiree Reed Francois. And there are a lot of people who usually know who are not getting intel on this thing. So we don't know a lot. I do think you put some names up there on the top of your list, and that depends on money. If you're going to go try to woo Dana Altman from Oregon, you better bring a bag.
Yeah.
Because he's making good money. His buyout's big. And you got to have to throw a lot of money after paying a $6 million buyout. Now, if you're not going to pay a basketball coach more than your football coach, which is usually standard in the SEC to not do that, then you kind of start looking at some of those hot mid-major names, Golden out at San Francisco. You look at North Texas, McCaslin. You look at Murray State, McMahon. Now, there are questions about all those guys, but there's also upside. They're kind of identified as this new class. Willard, to me, he's getting some buzz. I don't see the fit. I think he's a good coach. He's been a good coach on the east side of the country. I don't think he would have name recognition with Mizzou fans. He kind of coaches a grinded-out style, which Mizzou just had, and I think it would be hard to get the momentum going. The guy that I would put up, I mean, to me, the floor is Kim English, and I don't mean that as a knock on Kimmy. I think if you swing big and you start getting told no, or some other coaches, remember, there's all these SEC jobs that are wide open.
Right.
And maybe the best thing to do would have been to keep Konzo and actually see if he could have picked off some of these other SEC players now that their coaches are leaving, but it's too late for that now. If I get too far down my list, I'm going to Kim English. I'm bringing him home. Current students would love him. He knows how the modern recruiting works. He could get NIL money. The boosters would be engaged. He would fire that group up. He'd have to hire somebody on staff who's a good, experienced former head coach to help fill in gaps. But I could see that being kind of the unifying presence if they don't go get, you know, a name that's huge.
If you told me SEC sports, the first thing I come back with is football, for obvious reasons. However, it is amazing now, the money being poured into basketball in the SEC and the coaches that are getting fired. It's crazy.
They have so much money, they don't know what else to spend it on.
They're just having nuts.
I mean, think about, Mizzou's got to hire somebody who has a chance to go into a kid's living room, or what is it? Okay, let's use a more modern analogy. To pop up in a kid's Instagram DMs,
yeah,
and have a chance to compete with Rick Barnes, John Calipari, Bruce Pearl. You look at, you know, who's going to replace Will Wade at LSU. Their track record is to pay somebody an obscene amount of money, and they did it with their women's basketball coach. They did it with Chip Kelly. They are going to have huge penalties there, but they're just going to pay somebody to. You've even got a guy like Mike White, who's a really good coach at Florida, leaving Florida to go to Georgia to refresh because he thought he was going to get fired. Who's Florida going to hire?
So right.
There's big names, killers in this conference. So you either have to get somebody whose name brand clicks, or you have to get somebody whose energy and just pure doggedness to compete with those guys helps you on recruiting. Now, recruiting's not everything, and name, image, likeness isn't everything. I get it. It's about X's and O's too. But more than ever before, it's about being able to get players, being able to get the traction to get players that will help your team. And they've got to get somebody who can get that going at Mizzou. The basketball program is behind in that category compared to the football team. Eli Drinkwitz has got it going on football. The players, when Konzo was let go, they were told, you know, they were brought in, they were talked to. They were told there's this momentum for NIL. Things are getting in place. And one of the players were like, where has this been? And it's a fair question. Now, blame it on Konzo, I guess, for not being the guy who fired it up enough, but also it's not just the coach. And I can say that now that Konzo's gone, people say I'm not just sticking up for Konzo. They have some other things going on there that they need someone to work on, and a coach can make all those things click. And if not, it's going to be an uphill battle for whoever it is.
Aiden Shaw was the top recruit from Mizzou, so that was one of the biggest recruits they've had since probably
Jeremiah Tillman.
Yeah, 17, 18, something like that, whatever. Yeah. And so it's a big loss. Now, he has said he'll look at who they hire as to whether or not he would for sure leave Mizzou, but he said, hey, I'm back open to be recruited again. It's a big loss, and the cupboard right now is really bare for Mizzou, but that's the thing. You can turn this thing around quickly when you have NIL money and when you have the transfer portal. That stuff can change in a hurry.
And these kids are doing, people won't like this, but these kids are doing exactly what I would tell my kid to do. Because you can always go back. There's nothing about entering the transfer portal that says you can't go back. Kofi Coburn did it, and Illinois fans love him. Probably helped him get more. He's making like $1 million in name, image, likeness. So for people who don't think that changes the game, well, I mean, look at Illinois right now. I would say you probably committed to play for that coach as much as you did the program. Give yourself a chance to look around, but don't make a decision until you see who they hire. So Aiden Shaw says he's going to do that. Anton Brookshire, he says he's going to do that. We're waiting to find out about, you know, Kobe Brown, about Trevon Brazil, who's a really good player and could be, you know, a killer for somebody next year. You can't base your hire, though, based off of keeping those guys. You can't rush your hire to try to keep – you have to – when you make that change, you have to understand there's going to be defections. Hopefully your coach can come in and keep the players that you want to keep, and but you can't rush that based off that. When you make a change, you got to understand things are going to change, and you're banking on that coach, and that's why this notion that it's just going to be come in and flip it right away, I don't know. Now, you're right. It can happen fast. Transfer portal is going to be active and humming, and a coach who can grab the right guys can take off. I mean, look at what Creighton has done this year.
Yeah.
Greg McDermott lost all of his guys from last year. He went out and got good transfers. He did what Konzo did, but he did it better, and it worked for him. And here they are in the tournament. So it can happen both ways. Konzo got transfers. It didn't click, and that's mostly why he's out of a job. Now, the new coach, if he gets in time to talk to Aiden Shaw, to talk to Kobe Brown, to talk to Brazil, I think he'd tell him he wants him to stay. Now, that's going to be his first recruiting job.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
Man, I think Auburn would love to have that Brazil kid.
Oh,
so you better try to ask him to block their phone numbers.
Spring football kicks off tomorrow for Mizzou. So you looking forward to that?
Absolutely. The quarterback controversy intrigue continues. Eli's got a good quarterback storyline going on right now, Dan. Remember Jaden Daniels, you and I talked about him couple weeks ago. He had him in the quarterback transfer from Arizona State the first week of spring ball, and this is a mobile guy, big arm, kind of had a reputation of not being as good in recent seasons as he was as a young guy, but his talent around him declined. I think he could have been a big pickup. They hoped he would commit. He goes to LSU, and all of a sudden, okay, well, but they had never really been connected to JT Daniels, the other Daniels, the quarterback transfer out of Georgia. Well, come to find out, Mike Griffith, the reporter down in Georgia, says, hey, this guy's visiting Mizzou this weekend, and also, apparently, according to him, like Eli Drinkwitz was the first call that JT Daniels got when he hit the portal. So he's an interesting option. Big arm. I think he's like undefeated 7-0 as a starter at Georgia. Started his career at USC, remember. He's been hurt a lot. He hasn't played a ton of games since he was young. He's not as mobile. Very kind of probably more of like a Connor Bazelak type in terms of pretty limited mobility, but he might be the guy who could, you know, help stretch this field vertically for a guy like Luther Burden. So he'll be apparently in this weekend unless something changes. Meanwhile, you know, Tyler Macon, Brady Cook are battling it out for that quarterback job, but Eli's on the quarterback hunt.
Oh yeah.
And if he doesn't get Daniels, then I'm curious who could enter that portal after these spring rosters start to set a little bit.
Who have you talked to that's watched Luther Burden up close? And what are they saying about him?
I mean, I think he's as advertised.
Is
Eli's
he?
Trying
okay.
to Eli's trying to like tamp
downplay
it down.
It
and
bit,
I get
yeah.
it. You know,
yep.
Eli has this, and all coaches have this switch that they flip from the coach who recruits the Luther Burden to the one who acts to coach him.
Yeah.
And I think Eli thinks the last thing I need to do is heap praise on this guy. He's getting enough. I need to challenge him. And he's doing that. But the talent is there. He can affect the game in a lot of different ways. It increases the quarterback conversation because you got to get somebody who can get guy the ball and take advantage of it. And I don't want to be doomsday, but if you don't, talk about poachers.
Oh, boy.
So
they'll
you better
be
get somebody
over.
Who can
yep.
get him the ball.
Next week from today, we'll be down at Jupiter doing our visit. But at that point, the NHL trade deadline comes and goes. So a few days leading into that, I'm curious what the Blues are going to do. I've been harping on it from day one. They got to be bigger on the defensive side. We'll see if they do that. And if they do, then we're talking about maybe a run here in the playoffs. We'll see.
Yeah, it's Doug Armstrong is in stealth mode right now. And
yeah,
I was talking with Jeff Gordon, my colleague at the Post-Dispatch, who's Mr. Hockey about this, and he wonders, hey, Chiarot is gone off the board. Look at the price that had to be paid for him. That's a lot. The Blues didn't want to give that up. Kind of understand why. Kind of like, you know, similar to Cardinals, when you saw Kyle Schwarber go, you would have loved to see Kyle Schwarber in this offense, but then you saw what he got, and it's like, ooh.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
I didn't want to give him that kind of commitment. So it's kind of the same thing there. Now, how does Doug Armstrong pivot? Maybe rentals aren't the answer. Maybe it's make a more of a hockey trade for a defenseman with some term. Or maybe it's Army says, hey, I don't love anybody out here enough to part with what we have. We sit back and we ask these guys to dig deep. And that wouldn't probably be well received, but it was also kind of the approach that he took more or less when they made their cup run. So, I mean, he's a total wild card trying to predict what Doug Armstrong's going to do. I think he will find a way to add to this team. To me, his moves earlier this season have indicated that he views this as a time to push the gas I think he'll come up with something.
Yeah, and I think the window has been opened a little bit further, too, because of the emergence of Thomas and Kyrou and how well they played.
Right. So you That's why you get a guy with a few years left, exactly. And then all of a sudden it's...
Changes
but
it.
But you're not going to give up a guy that you see being a key part of this future. Maybe you give up a Barbashev, though.
Yeah.
And fans, I know, love him, and he's a good player, but you have so many of those guys. You have so many forwards right now that if you're going to make a deal, then... Get a guy who's going to stick around for maybe longer than half a season or the postseason.
You know what? Some things never change. Waino's on the mound today. Verlander for Houston. And the game, by the way, can be seen on Bally Sports at noon. It's the first of, I think, seven that we'll be televising. And then, obviously, the regular season will be here. But pretty amazing. Yachty, Waino, all coming back for one more run. And I know a lot of the Cardinals and their promotions around the tickets and whatnot this year are around number 4, number 50, and the 82 team. It's the anniversary of that 82 team. But it's amazing, man, to see that this guy is back, and we keep talking about it. But we'll see what kind of level he's at, and it starts today.
Mr. Steady, Mr. Consistent, best pitcher, question mark, since the pandemic. Best pitcher for his age, yeah, either.
Exactly.
I'm going to keep saying it. I know I've probably worn it out. People are sick of me saying it, but the numbers are there. Look at innings pitched. Look at quality starts. Look at complete games. Look at his ERA.
Yeah.
Since the pandemic, when baseball was at its most unpredictable, who has been the most reliable?
Yeah.
It's the guy who's pitching for the Cardinals in the first game of spring training, which tells me he's going to be pitching
on opening day
as well. Now, Yachty, hopefully everything that's going on with Yachty is okay and resolved soon. I don't know what's going on there, but I hope his family is good and everything's all right because, you know, he wants to be in camp. But it's hard to know what that is, and hopefully it's resolved soon and he's ready to roll.
All right, buddy. Well, safe travels, and I'm sure I'll see you next week at the ballpark as we'll both be in Jupiter, and it's nice to have baseball back and looking forward to it.
You bet, brother. Bring your sunscreen.